your response to that, Mufti Saab. And for our listeners, we do have Islamic Crisis Center, and I think inshallah if you do call me also later, I'll give you that information, or you can contact Maulana Isa, the Imam of the West Street Masjid in the city of Durban. Inshallah, that number is not available to me right now, but if you do call later, we will make that number available if you feel that someone is being abused, and inshallah I think Maulana will be able to assist you in that regard. Mufti Saab, the next question is, what is the method of performing sajda at-tilawa according to the Hanafi school of thought, Mufti Saab?
Sajda at-tilawa is very simple, that I presume the person is reading Quran al-Kareem, and now he has come across the ayat, or he or she has come across the sajda at-tilawa ayat, the Quran al-Kareem should be closed, and obviously the person will mark where the person has stopped. Then the person naturally is in a state of wuzu, and the adab of reciting Quran al-Kareem is one of the adabs, the etiquette, mannerism is to be facing Qibla. So the person stands up facing Qibla and says Allahu Akbar and goes down into sijda, recites the tasbihat, and then stands up. That is the method, simple method of performing the sijda tilawa. If a person was already in a seated position and facing Qibla, then the person just says Allahu Akbar and goes down into sijda position, recites the normal tasbihat of sijda, and gets up back into sitting position, the sijda tilawat is rendered complete.
Jazakallah. Mufti Saab, the next question is, if a person, or especially actually this comes from a sister who is suffering from incontinence, does she have to have a ghusl every time it happens to her? What does she do with regard to this involuntary passing of droplets of urine? Mufti Saab?
Hafiza, could you repeat the question?
There is a sister who would like to know, I think she has a problem that's called incontinence, the involuntary passing of urine, and yes, this happens to her quite often. Does she have to have ghusl every time that it happens to her?
Okay.
Or is she in the category of ma'zur?
Okay. Understand carefully that first of all, ghusl is not necessary. The question is about ghusl.
Yes.
Ghusl is definitely not necessary due to this urine dropping problem. However, she or any person having this urine dropping problem, before being classified mazur, should realize that what is the definition of mazur in this case. Certain people have got, for example, urine dropping problem. Certain people have got the discharge of gas problem and lot of flatulency. So, or certain times the nose bleeding after an operation, etc. Now, if a person cannot make a 4-rakat salat without blood dropping or without urine dropping or without gas coming out, then that person is classified as mazur, incapacitated. Then the laws of incapacitation go upon that person. And the laws of incapacitation, they are lengthy, and inshallah we will discuss them as we go along. For now, that lady, she does not have to make ghusl all the time. But advisable that they should put some material, etc., so that the material can absorb the urine, and at the time of performing salat, they make wuzu, change the material, put a different type of material or wool, then perform their salat.
JazakAllah for that. Once again, to our listeners, there are certain questions that are coming in which are actually very sensitive, and also those are like questions mainly for adults. And I think one of the questions Mufti Saab has already answered on our previous Q&A. Inshallah, if you do call me after the program, I would give you Mufti Saab's number, and inshallah you could call him directly with that particular question. Right now, you are listening to our Q&A session, and this program is sponsored by Al-Imdad. to our listeners on the World Space Satellite Receiver. We are broadcasting to you live from our studios right here in the city of Durban, Radio Al Ansar, from 189 West Road. Mufti Saab, the next question is, or actually they need some advice. What surah or ayah of the Quran does one have to read for a good marriage proposal? And Mufti Saab, we are being inundated with lots of callers, especially with regard to good marriage proposals. Mufti Saab?
Now, it is famous that certain ulama have written this, and they suggest that the person, especially a female, should read the surah Yusuf. However, we have not seen this in any authentic book, but it has become classified as what we call mujarabat, a action done, and out of experience it seems to work. However, the best will be that after every farz salat, that a person should raise hands and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because we have got a very clear hadith stating that after the farz salat, a dua is accepted. So when we have got a very clear hadith concerning dua being accepted after farz salat, then we should hold fast to that which is proven and give it preference over that which is proven by experience. So a person in fact also can make two rakats of salat every day, nafil salat, and plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person, he knows his needs, she knows her needs, should plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will listen to the dua.
Inshallah, ameen. Well, Mufti Saab, the next question is, I think we've answered one similar to this, but I would like to read the question out to Mufti Saab. If a woman is menstruating for over 10 days, can she start fasting, read the Quran, and read Salah? Mufti Saab?
After 10 days, because according to the Hanafi school of thought, that is maximum. And now the lady, all the blood that is coming after 10 days is istihaza, as a result of istihaza, that is blood discharge due to ill health. So she should take a bath and classify herself now as pure and proceed with fasting and salat and zikr and tilawat al-Quran, etc.
JazakAllah. Once again, we have online our learned scholar. If you do have any questions, you could call us on 208-1661, area code 031. If you're calling from out of the country, then it's 2731-208-1661. Mufti Saab, just a few questions back about the abuse. We have a question that has followed up with that. I think it's the same caller. They say that it was child abuse, not physical abuse, and it happened years ago. Is he still liable for medical expenses? And he might be at a risk of abusing someone again. What must she do? Mufti Saab?
If it has been child abuse, and that has been now... and the person is still traumatized due to that abuse, then still the medical expenses has to be borne by the abuser. And if that abuser is still at large, then definitely this case has to be sent out to your welfare department, supposed to be sent out to your care line department, so that it can be addressed with seriousness, because this cannot go on. People abusing children, etc., or beating up wives, etc., this has to come to an end and a stop.
JazakAllah for that. I think I'm going to ask Sister Nosheen to see if she can please try and get me the number for the Islamic Crisis Call Center from Maulana Isa, and inshallah by the end of the program we will give out that number to you. Mufti Saab, the next question is, this person says that we are accountants and some of our clients sell liquor. Is the income that we receive from these clients halal for us? Mufti Saab?
Although the income will be permissible, we will advise the person that he should take that money and pay taxes, etc., with that income.
JazakAllah. Mufti Saab, the next question is, this anonymous sister says, during Ramadan, There are lots of Islamic educational programs on various electronic media that's looking at the TV and radio stations dedicated to Ramadan, where she gained invaluable information and knowledge, and not only on the Quran but many facets of Islam. And she says, I find that listening and watching these programs tends to keep me away from performing extra nawafil and reading extra Quran. Yet I do perform these at night up to the early hours of the morning. Which is preferable, Mufti Sam?
Preferable will definitely be that a person must now sit down and look carefully. As far as looking at programs, that most of the ulama ikram are saying that a person should not waste time looking at programs. There is a lot of permissibility being given to listening at the moment. However, as far as listening is concerned also, the person should take counsel from the local ulama that which programs a person should listen to and which programs are worthy to be listened and which programs are deserving to be listened. Many times, unfortunately, because we have got many, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our country, a broad spectrum of radio stations claiming to be Muslim, Islamic, and projecting Islam, and claiming to be projecting pure Islam, divine Islam, and wholesome Islam. But this is not 24-hour the case. On days, I have to say this, that in our whole country, there is not one radio station that is 100% Islamically kosher. I repeat, there is not one radio station that is 100% Islamically kosher, because it is very difficult to become 100% Islamically kosher. Many programs on many stations, they are blasphemous in nature, let alone un-Islamic. They are blasphemous in nature, and they are moving towards kufr and propagating completely un-Islamic views. So the sister should take counsel from the ulama, and then they will tell her, don't listen to this program. But as a rule, a person should engage himself with more Quran tilawat, with more nafil ibadat, especially in the month of Ramadan, when nafil gains the reward of farz, and farz status is elevated tremendously. So, especially in this month, a person should go in for more individualistic ibadat so that life can improve.
Inshallah, shukran for that. Mufti Sahab, the next question says, I normally read the Quran with translation and understanding, but to complete a full khatam in this way takes many months, meaning with the translation. In Ramadan, is it recommended to make a khatam? If so, then for the merit of Ramadan and the blessings thereof, should I read only the Arabic or continue with my method, meaning the method with the translation? Mufti Sahab?
In the month of Ramadan, you should concentrate on making Quran tilawat in the Arabic language and focus on that. And most of the radio stations have what we call Juz al-Day, etc., wherein Quran is recited, so you can follow that. And also try to complete at least one Quran Arabic recitation in the month of Ramadan. And because you are habitual in reading the translation, etc., so instead of now reading half a para of translation, taper it down to so that you only have to read one ruku of translation. Do not abandon that. Read at least one ruku of translation, but make more time and read more Arabic, Quranic Arabic, so that you can comfortably complete the Quranic Kareem in the blessed month of Ramadan.
Inshallah. You're tuned to Radio Al Ansar on 103 FM Stereo. It's approximately 16:54. To our World Space Satellite receivers, you could call us on 2731-208-1661. Mufti Sahab, our next question. A baby is 4 months old and only takes breast milk. Due to this, the mother gets very exhausted. Can she fast? Mufti Sahib?
Can she fast? Yes, she can fast. But she should worry about her health. Because amongst the 10 reasons which allow a person not to fast, breastfeeding is one of the reasons. So she should worry about her health and the health of her baby. She should take advice from a doctor so that we can have a good, reliable, pious doctor advising her. But if she can assess for herself and pass a ruling for herself, she knows that perhaps I can do this one day, fast one day, and not fast. I can not fast one day and fast one day, and every alternative day she can fast, etc. But if she is feeling weak, feeble, fatigued, then she is excused. She should not fast.
JazakAllah for that response, Mufti Sahib. The next question is: can a person, can we take a capsule which is made from gelatin? I'm not too sure what kind of gelatin this is, Mufti Sahib.
First of all, there are gelatin which is permissible. If it's permissible, alhamdulillah. But to take a capsule which is gelatin, and this gelatin is not kosher, then as a last resort, when there is no other medication available, and this particular medication is available, and the capsule is of gelatin which is not kosher, then it will become permissible to utilize it as a last resort, not first option.
Well, see, sir, that question follows up. It says that can a person open the capsule and consume the contents even if it contains gelatin?
If a person can do that, alhamdulillah, he should do that. That will be the cautious method of taking the medication.
Alhamdulillah. This just shows that, alhamdulillah, many of our listeners are so cautious about what they are consuming. And I'm sure you could contact Sanha or some of the other organizations in the area that you live in. Well, Sisa, the next question. This person says that I think this person's gums bleeds a lot, excessively. Can he still keep fast? And if he kept a fast and he bled during the fast, is the fast broken? Well, Sisa?
You should realize that the bleeding gum, the person with the bleeding gum must be cautious. And since he had kept the fast and the gum was bleeding, then because we do not know whether the blood went down the throat, we will say that no blood went down the throat, and we will give him the benefit of the doubt and classify that fast as valid. However, this person in future has to be extremely cautious that because he is suffering from bleeding gums, he should be cautious. As soon as he tastes blood, then he should gargle and spit the blood out. If he swallows that blood, that swallowing will render the fast invalid. The person will have to make a qaza. No kafara, qaza only. However, if this person is cautious, he will be able to fast comfortably, easily, and without any and much difficulty.
Shukran for that explanation, Mufti Sahib. The next question is, a person is under medication. They did not specify what kind of medication. Can they still fast, Mufti Sahib?
Generally, alhamdulillah, that most of our Muslim doctors, they advise their patients, and now instead of telling them to have breakfast, their medication during breakfast, lunch and supper, they advise their patients that at seri, at iftar, and if you look at it, we have just changed our three meals, breakfast, lunch and supper, to iftari after taraweeh and seri. So we're still having three meals, so the medication should be taken during those three times, obviously. And if the person has to, if he is so sick that he cannot do without the medication, he has to take it in the fasting time, then obviously, provided a pious, reliable doctor is standing and is prepared to rule that this person has to have this medication, otherwise it's going to be tremendously detrimental to that person's health. And this doctor who's making this ruling, he has to realize that on the day of judgment, he's going to stand before Allah Ta'ala also, and he will have to face Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for the judgment and the ruling and the verdict that he has made and for the decision that he has rendered, because of him that patient is not going to fast. So when the doctor has made that ruling, then because of the ailment and sickness and the severity of the ailment and sickness, that patient will be allowed not to fast.
Mufisa, the next question is, do we have to take out a specific sadaqah during Ramadan?
Oh yes, I realize where this question is coming from. Okay. That certain people feel that they have not kept their fast properly. Okay. Like certain people also feel, they call it dhamm-e-shak for Hajj, okay. That a sacrifice of doubt, that they go through the Hajj proceeding, and alhamdulillah, when they don't make any errors or blunders or any action which tantamounts for them to make a sacrifice or give out a penalty or sadaqah, they feel that my Hajj without any error, or I'm in doubt. They go into doubt, and as a result, they want to give a penalty of doubt. This penalty of doubt is not proven, is not necessary, whether it be for Hajj or whether it be for Salah or whether it be for the month of fasting. The Sadqatul Fitr, inshallah, will cover up, will redeem for all the minor errors that we have committed during the blessed month of Ramadan. So that person should give out the Sadqatul Fitr, alhamdulillah, before going to the Eid Gah or before the Eid day, so that inshallah he is able, so the poor people are able to benefit and this person is at ease.
Why reading Sadaqah? The person falls off to sleep, must he continue the salah or start all over again?
I hope the person is not an imam.
I just hope not.
So the person obviously is making salah. Now there are two cases here.
Yeah.
One is that he is making tarawih salah and he fell asleep. Now, as long as he is standing and he fell asleep, and then he realized, oh, the imam said, I must go into ruku, then he can go into ruku, everything is okay. And even if he was performing salat individually, and he's standing, and he slept away, provided once he falls, his wuzu goes, when his wuzu went, his salat went. When his wuzu broke, his salat broke. So this person here, I have seen a few brothers, they are quite professional, they have got an art, they have developed it, they stand and sleep.
Mufti Sam? Yes. Did Mufti Sam ever hear of this one imam? I know I've heard the stories many times that he left the people in sajda and he went away.
Oh yes.
You've heard about that one?
Yes. There was some window near there.
Yes.
So he decided he did not know what to read after that. He was the Ramzan Hafiz. And then he decided to leave them in the sijda, and alhamdulillah, he went away.
Okay, Mufti Sahab, kindly remain online, inshallah. We'll be back with you soon. Right now, we have online Brother Ridwan from the Oasis Group Holding to do the latest market update. Brother Ridwan, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Radio Al Ansar.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you doing, Brother Ridwan?
Alhamdulillah. How are you this afternoon?
Alhamdulillah. Are you calling us from Cape Town?
Yes, we are calling you live from Cape Town.
Mashallah. How's Cape Town?
The weather is very nice right now. I can look out over the harbor, and it's a very nice afternoon.
Okay, brother, you can go ahead with the market update.
In the local market today, the All Share Index was up 0.4%, industrials up 0.7%, and the gold sector was up 3% today. Just looking briefly at the developments locally, the gold price is currently at a 7.5-year high. It's close to the $400 level. At one stage, it did come close, currently at $396 an ounce. Looking at the platinum price, platinum's at a 23-year high today, $772 an ounce. And Brent crude up 0.4% to $28.98 a barrel. In the local market today, the big news was from the gold sector again. Harmony and Anglo-Val Mining announced that they would be doing a major restructuring where they would be purchasing Avgold, and in return Avmin would be taking over the platinum investments. Also in company news, Paramount Property Fund announced they would be acquiring two large industrial properties, and Barlow World, which has a lot of the motor dealerships and the CAT franchise in South Africa. They expected to release strong results tomorrow, and their results will be impacted by the stronger rand. In international markets, the morning started off with the Nikkei 225 up 1.1% in Japan, and in Europe, German DAX was flat at 3749, and the UK market down 0.1%. Siemens, the telecoms company, announced stronger earnings for the quarter. And looking at the U.S. market, Dow Jones Industrial down 0.6% and the S&P 500 down 0.4%. Today's currencies, the rand closed much stronger today, 6 rand 83 against the U.S. dollar, 8 rand 3 cents against the euro, 11.56 against the pound, and 1 rand 84 against the Saudi rial. Finally, today's unit trust prices, Oasis Crescent Equity Fund is priced at 221.7 and the Oasis Crescent International Fund priced at 108.4. This is your market update live from Oasis Asset Management in Cape Town. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu brother Ridwan. I'd like to thank you very much for that market update, and please do remember us in your du'as at the time of iftar. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to our Q&A session. With us we have our learned scholar, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Sahab, Hafizahullah. Mufti Sahab, once again we apologize for that. Mufti Sahab, our next question. Can you make ibadat with false teeth? Mufti Sahab?
As long as the ibadat is not false.
Alhamdulillah.
False teeth is not going to influence the ibadat. The ibadat, inshallah, is directed from the heart, and a person, as long as the dentures, etc., do not irritate him or distract him from making ibadat, or distract him so that he does not read his Quran properly. Sometimes what happens, the person utilizes false teeth and dentures, etc., and then he wants to read Quran aloud, especially at Tahajjud time in his house, and as a result, the words don't seem to come out properly. Or the person wants to make Quran tilawat, and because of the false teeth, and I presume the dentist must have told the person that, listen, when you, in the initial stages, when we have given you the dentures or the false teeth, the maharij or the sifat and all the pronunciation, the various pronunciations of the Quran al-Karim, the letters of the huruf, etc., would not come out properly and clearly, so don't get worried about it. So this person perhaps is worried about it, he is not able to pronounce, or is getting some whistling sounds, some hissing sounds, so the person should assist for himself and have some patience, inshallah, as soon as the false teeth settle down, then he'll be able to pronounce properly, and inshallah then enjoy his ibadat, his Quran tilawat, his zikr, etc.
Inshallah. To our listeners, we would like to remind you that we only have an hour for this Q&A session. We ask you to be patient with us, and I believe this afternoon someone, I think, was a little angry. Inshallah, we are going to try our best to pose all the questions that we have to Mufti Sahab. Right now, we are still posing the questions to Mufti Sahab, which we had received last week. Mufti Sahab, the next question is, a lady that is a widow and is in iddat, her granddaughter is getting married. Can she go to her son's place for the wedding? Mufti Sahab?
As long as she is in iddat, inshallah, she should stay in iddat and maintain the iddat and make a lot of dua from the place of iddat. Allah Ta'ala will reward her, and inshallah, because she will be adhering and conforming to the Sharia of Islam, then inshallah that will be creating barakat for that wedding that is going to take place, and that nikah that is going to take place. By her leaving the home of iddat, the place of iddat, and going to that place, unfortunately, in most of the wedding homes, etc., too many un-Islamic.
And because she's adhering to the Sunnah of the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
And because of her righteousness and piety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create barakat in that wedding that is going to take place.
Amen, inshallah. So, Mufti Sahib, our next listener, I think this it's one person who's got about 10 or 15 questions related to Hajj. But I think, Mufti Sahib, you do have a book that's on Hajj and Umrah.
They can see it on the website also. However, as the programs proceed, and we have time, we'll answer those questions on the air also.
Inshallah.
For the benefit of the listeners, inshallah.
And inshallah, as soon as you are, the Hajj seminar is not very far away also.
And as soon as you'll decide by Mashwara that you will give us more time.
Inshallah. Mufti, I think we request our listeners to phone Brother Riyaz Jamal, and you can request from him an extension of time for our Q&A session. Mufti Sahib, another question. If your nose bleeds in Ramadan, is your fast they've got accepted, Mufti Sahib, or is it valid?
As far as accepted and valid, you know the difference. Accepted, we do not know. As far as our salat, our fasting, our hajj, that's why we constantly make dua that Ya Allah accept our stabbing and our fasting and our tilawat in the month of Ramadan or any other month. As far as validity is concerned, that the person's nose was bleeding, as long as the blood went outside and the bleeding was outside and did not go inside. If it went inside, it's going to go down the throat and break the fast. So the person should assess for himself that the nose bled, did the blood go down the throat? If it went down the throat, only one qaza, no kafara, only one qaza the person has to make, meaning that for one fast that was broken unintentionally, he'll have to replace it with one fast. However, if the blood went outside and he's pretty sure that no blood went down the throat, the fast is intact, it is valid, and inshallah accepted.
Mufti Sahib, to conclude with this afternoon's program, a sister had called in a few days ago, I think it was in the morning, informing us that her child fell in the pool, and I believe this baby is not well at all. And I think the parents would like to know, besides the medical treatment that they are receiving, what else could they do for this child to recover? And also we request Mufti Sahib to, after Mufti Sahib answers that, to conclude with a special dua for this child. Mufti Sahib?
Is the child obviously now in the hospital?
I assume so, Mufti Sahib.
First of all, that because this is a very important slot and many are listening, literally thousands are listening, that we request every listener, especially in the month of Ramadan and especially during iftari time, I will make a special appeal to every listener that please make dua for the child, for the recovery of the child, and we honestly make dua. Before we make dua for the child in specific, I just like to mention something, Afzal,
that
Ishraq Salat is 15 minutes after sunrise.
Yes.
And it can be 2 rakats or 4 rakats. And Salatul Chasht, or what we call Salatul Dua, is 10 o'clock in the morning, and the time stretches till Zawal. 10 o'clock in the morning, time stretches till Zawal, and the maximum amount of rakats is 12 rakats. So inshallah, we make dua, Ya Rahman Rahimin, Ya Rahman Rahimin, Ya Rahman Rahimin. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadi wa barik wa salli. Ya Allah, grant the child shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamira. Ya Allah, grant the child good recovery, steadfast recovery, constant recovery. Ya Allah, through the wasila of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accept our dua and accept all our duas and efforts in this month. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Once again, Mufti Sahib, we'd like to thank you very, very much for your contribution. It indeed makes a very big difference, especially not only for our listeners of the KZN area, but for our listeners on the World Space Satellite Receiver. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for every second that you have sacrificed with us and for us. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum. That was Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Sahib Hafizahullah with our Q&A session. Our next Q&A session, inshallah, is going to be on Sunday between 4 and 5 p.m. Don't forget, stay tuned, inshallah, this evening between in about 10 minutes time or so, it's going to be time for the Tazkiyah presenter to take over. Once again, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Sister Nosheen, who had assisted this afternoon, Brother Irfan Bucks, Hafiz Muhammad Jina, who was in the morning shift, but that's here in the night shift. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward each and every one of you for your contribution. Well, I would like to leave you on this note. Inshallah, we'd like to remind our listeners that it is time for the Asr Azan for our listeners in the Durban area. From me, Hussein Wadi, fi amanillah, ma'a salama, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته إنك لا تخلف الميعاد.
Peace and blessings be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, Lord of this perfect call and this everlasting salah, grant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the right of intercession and honor, and raise him to the laudable position which you have promised him, and you never go back on your promises.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Radio Al Ansar ki sureli aur sunheri awaaz 103 Famim Stereo se nashr ho rahi hai. Main hoon aapka saathi Zainul Abidin Ali. To chaliye hum saath milkar kuch haseen lamhe is maah mubarak mein guzare. You are listening to the sweet and golden voice of Radio Al Ansar coming to you on 103 FM Stereo. This is your host Zainul Abidin Ali bringing to you your daily dose of tazkiyah. Remember, if you do have the world space receiver sets, then you can tune into Events Info. You're also receiving us all the way from Mauritius in the east, perhaps to the Namib Desert in the west, and all the way up to North Africa, inshallah. This is that part of the day when we invite you to sit back, relax, and allow the day's cares to recede. The tiredness of the fasting day begins to lose its sharp and biting edge in anticipation of iftar. This is that hour of tazkiyah, the program wherein we reflect, repair, and recover our spirits. Let's together purify our souls and refresh our resolve. Remember, we shall make special dua for all those in need of it at the end of this program. So if you have someone who is perhaps ill at home, or perhaps in a hospital bed, or confined to bed for whatever reasons at home or in hospital, or perhaps someone incarcerated in a prison somewhere, or someone confined to a wheelchair for whatever reasons, please phone in and we shall make very special dua at the end of it, and who knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, whose ameen, and everyone's problems will be solved inshallah ta'ala. The number you could dial in the studio is 208-1661. That number again, 208-1661. And of course, if you're calling from outside the Durban functional region, remember the area dialing code is 031031. Yesterday, we had looked at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, how he had been molested by the wife of the Aziz, who had become besotted with him, and at the end of it, she had then accused him of having attacked her. Eventually, the matter was proven by her very own uncle, who had said that if the shirt had been torn from the front, then Yusuf would have been guilty. However, if the shirt was torn from the back, then Yusuf was innocent. And as it turned out, they found the shirt that was in the hands of the wife of the governor. They examined it, and they found that Yusuf's shirt had been torn at the back, and therefore he was innocent. Eventually, the people were mocking this particular woman, Zulaikha. So she decided, in order to show all these women what kind of a man, what beauty the man had that had besotted her, she decided to hold a banquet for them and invited all of them to the banquet. And in the banquet, all the women folk were given knives and fruit, and then at a particular given moment, Yusuf alayhi salam had been called in, and as he walked in, whilst the people were cutting the fruit, they were taken aback. They were stunned at the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam to such an extent that they cut their fingers and didn't even realize it. Eventually, of course, she, in order to save her honor and that of the governor, although the governor knew Yusuf alayhi salam to be absolutely innocent, she entreated him that he should put her into prison. Eventually, with a very heavy heart, the Aziz, although he loved Yusuf alayhi salam very much, sent him to prison. Now let's see ahead. Prison was Yusuf's third test. During this period, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with an extraordinary gift, the ability to interpret dreams. At about the same time, two men landed in the prison. One was the cupbearer to the king, and the other was the king's cook. The two men sensed that Yusuf was not a common criminal. An aura of piety glowed on his face. Both men had vivid dreams, and they were anxious to have it explained. They asked Yusuf for his opinion on their dreams. The cupbearer related, "In my dream, I saw myself in a vineyard, pressing grapes and pouring the liquid into the king's cup." Then the king related his dream. "I saw myself in a dream carrying a basket of bread on my head and birds eating from it." Yusuf told them, "I shall surely reveal to you the truth and meanings of your dreams."
He also informed them that his talent was a gift from Allah, and he rejected the ways of those who did not believe in Allah and those who denied the hereafter. I follow the ways of my noble forefathers and would never attribute any partner to Allah, who has commanded that we worship none but him. He then told them that he had good news for the one and sad news for the other. The cupbearer would be proved innocent and would once again serve the king, while the cook would be found guilty and die on the cross, and birds would feed off his head. The cupbearer was a victim of a false charge, while the cook was actually involved in a plot to poison the king. The cook met his doom as foretold by Yusuf alayhi salam. The cupbearer was released to go back into the king's service again. The cupbearer was so impressed with Yusuf's piety and sincerity that he asked Yusuf how he could repay him. Yusuf asked him to tell the king of his unjust imprisonment. However, once the cupbearer was free, he got engrossed in enjoying life's pleasures and completely forgot about Yusuf. Yusuf remained in prison for a few more years. One morning, the king was disturbed by a dream he had had. He gathered all his learned men and asked them to interpret his dream. I saw in a dream 7 fat cows devoured by 7 lean cows, and 7 green ears of corn and 7 withered ones. His counselors were honest men and admitted their inability at interpreting this dream. This is a confused mixture of dreams, and we are not skilled in the interpretation of such dreams. The cupbearer, now back in the king's service, remembered Yusuf of the prison and said, "Master, in thine prison is a noble man endowed with the gift of interpreting dreams. If thou send me to him, I shall bring him back truthful news." The king ordered the cupbearer to go in haste. Yusuf interpreted the king's dream to the cupbearer. "There will be 7 years of abundance. If the land is properly cultivated, there will be an excess of good harvest, more than the people's need. This should be stored. Thereafter, 7 years of famine will follow, during which period the excess grain could be used." He also advised that during the famine, they should save more grain to be used for the next harvest. Yusuf then added, "After 7 years of drought, there will be a year during which period water will be plentiful. If properly used, grape and olive trees would grow in abundance, providing plenty of grapes and olive oil." The cupbearer hurried back with the good news. The king was fascinated by Yusuf's interpretation. He immediately sent a guard to fetch Yusuf. However, the guard was surprised at Yusuf's attitude. Any other prisoner would have been overjoyed to be released from prison. But Yusuf refused to leave. He first wanted the false charge against him cleared. He further told the guard, "Go back to your king and ask him to inquire from the woman who had attended the banquet of the governor's wife why I was imprisoned." Upon receiving the guard's report, the king hastily summoned the women concerned and heard the whole truth. The Aziz's wife, now much older and past recklessness, admitted that she was to be blamed for Yusuf's suffering and humiliation. She pleaded that she was only a human being and prone to weakness, but now sought refuge in the one Allah and shunned evil thoughts and begged the king for pardon. The king felt sorry for Zulaikha and pardoned her. The king informed Yusuf that his innocence was established and ordered him to come to the palace for an interview. The king recognized his noble qualities and offered him a high position. Yusuf asked to be made a controller of the granaries so that he could guard the nation's crop and thereby safeguard its well-being during the expected drought. The wheel of time turned. During the good seasons of the 7 years, Yusuf had full control over the cultivation, harvesting, and storage of crops. During the following 7 years, drought followed and famine spread throughout the land, including Canaan, the homeland of Yusuf. Yusuf advised the king that as his kingdom was blessed with reserved grain, the needy countries should be sold grain at a fair price. The king agreed and the good news spread all over. Yaqub sent 10 of his sons except Benjamin to Egypt to purchase provisions. Yusuf heard of the 10 brothers who had come from Rafah and who could not speak the language of the Egyptians. When they called on him to purchase their needs, Yusuf immediately recognized his brothers, but they did not know him. How could they? To them, Yusuf was no longer around. He had been thrown into the deep, dark, dank well many years ago. Yusuf received